God, we ask that you would speak to us on this important theme of Jesus brings salvation to the nations. Lord, that we would just understand that gospel and just become passionate about sharing it with others, that others too would be saved. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, Ira is a young Hindu woman in Bali, and following the Bali bombing, she went to help out at the local hospital. And some of our Christian workers living in Bali also went to the hospital, and they worked side by side helping those who had suffered so greatly, many with significant and terrible burns. As our Christian workers started to befriend her and love her, they had opportunities to share Christ with her. And she's told them about Hinduism and the Hinduism that she believed in. In time, they handed over to her a copy of the Jesus film. She watched it once with no impact, she told me. A little while later, a few months later, she watched it again, and as they continued building relationship, and she enjoyed it, but it had no impact. She said to me when I met her, she said, I watched it the third time about 12 months later. She said, I watched the story of the life of Jesus, and I watched his death on a cross, and I realized it was for me. And then at the end of the video, they go through a prayer of commitment, how a person begins a relationship with Jesus, how a person can have their sins forgiven, how they can be at peace with God. She said, I just read that and I just couldn't help myself uncontrollably. I just wept. And I knew that this was the truth. And said, I gave my life to Jesus. A Hindu woman who knew nothing about Jesus, but through the personal witness and love and encouragement from other Christian people who introduced her to the gospel message through a video and through some other material, came to a living faith in Jesus Christ. She is now one of our workers of the ministry in Bali. She is now training other people and leading other people to Christ and running Bible study groups and small groups and running the community center there. Friends, why did Jesus come to the earth? What was his mission? It was to bring salvation to all nations. The Bible says, for the Son of Man, as a reference to Jesus, came to seek and to save what was lost. God looked at the world that he had created, and he saw the rebellion of men and women, but still loved us. And he said, I'm going to do something through my Son Jesus to restore them to relationship with me. I'm going to save them. They're lost. They don't know which way to turn. And I will save them. And friends, I was lost once. That little Greek kid who came out as a migrant at the age of 3, until someone came alongside me and ran a group that I attended. And this man shared the gospel with us, and we read the Bible. And I asked tough questions. At the age of 15, I too put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I realized I was lost and I needed salvation, and my life was transformed. But friends, it's not only others who should share the gospel with others. We too are made for a mission, and the mission includes all nations. You know those famous verses that were just read to us. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said to his disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, starting where you are and spreading out. But let me say right at the beginning, you won't go and take the gospel if you don't love the lost. You won't go in Jesus' name if you don't love the lost. There needs to be a love that you have for people, as Jesus had for people, that will catapult you and send you out to take the risks, to go to Riverwood to the festival, or go to your neighbour at the coffee place, wherever it is you work, whatever, and be willing to engage with them with the good news of Jesus Christ. And the truth is, friends, if people die unforgiven, let's just get this right. And if you're visiting today, this is what the Bible teaches, what Christians believe. If you die unforgiven outside a relationship with Jesus, you don't just end up in hell with all your mates having a good time. You do end up in hell, the Bible says, under the judgment of God. And as one pastor at a funeral, a man asked a pastor about a wealthy woman, how much did she leave? To which he replied, she left everything they always do. You don't take any of that with you. It's a relationship with Jesus that gets you eternity. I remember speaking at the funeral of a Macedonian woman who had become a Christian and joined our church, and I remember baptizing her in the year 2000. Many of her family members were Jehovah's Witnesses. In fact, when I spoke at her funeral, there was a large gathering of Jehovah's Witnesses, and we worked hard to ensure that I got to preach the evangelical gospel. You could tell people almost wanted me to preach a different gospel. I wouldn't do that, obviously. But she had come to faith in Jesus Christ, and her faith in Jesus Christ from a Macedonian background gave her confidence for eternity. But friends, let me say, I also went to a funeral of an uncle who died at the age of 73. The priest did not know him at all, but I remember in his message he said, you know, I know his wife and she's a good woman. And by implication, because the wife was a good woman and did good works, that her husband was a good man who did good works, and therefore he'll be okay with God. Well, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't matter, firstly, how good your works are. We're all sinners who fall under the judgment of God. We need a Savior. His name is Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And secondly, just because your wife is a Christian, a genuine Christian, doesn't mean that you just get into heaven because they are. You have your own relationship with God you have to deal with. We won't go if we don't love the lost and we don't understand the judgment that is to come. But we won't go if we don't find our joy and satisfaction in God. That's the other thing. Why care for the lost? Why evangelize the lost in our local community? Why evangelize the lost to the ends of the earth? Why did Tim and Val go to Nepal, having to drive on a vomiting highway, and pray hard that you don't go over and, you know, you don't vomit too much? My first trip there, we took some locals, some Hindus, when I was there last year, and they were driving us to one place within 10 minutes. The locals were vomiting into bags. We stopped the cars. It's not where you go for fun necessarily, right? You go because you love Jesus, you want to serve him. But you have to have that joy and satisfaction in God, that God is your everything. Church, God has to be your everything. When he is your everything, it overflows into love and witness. And John Piper puts it this way. Why does mission exist? Mission exists because worship doesn't. And you want to go on mission and tell people about Jesus because you see people who don't love Jesus. And yesterday at Riverwood, I saw people come past and not interested, don't believe in God. Well, I'm not interested, I'm a Buddhist, not interested. And I want to go to them because they are not worshiping the true God. And in fact, I met some Christadelphians down there. And if you've ever been told that they are Christians, no way. I read their teaching. I stood there and I spoke to one of the young men at this place. I went, what is your gospel? It says Jesus didn't die for your sins. I said, what do you believe he did? He said, oh, he died as an example for us to follow. I said, how do you get your sins forgiven? Oh, he just forgives them. And the Jesus who in their thinking is not God the Son, is simply, there's only one God and Jesus is a created being. And I spoke to this young man and I tell you, my heart was moved. I just thought, I said, you've got no assurance of salvation. He said, no, I'm just going to try and live as good as I can. I said, but you're telling me to believe the gospel and be baptized. They believe in baptismal regeneration. If you're not baptized in water, then you are not saved. So it's like a faith in some gospel that is no gospel and a baptism in something that is really no gospel, and then try to live as well as you can. And I'm there thinking, you need to learn to worship God, the true God. And I just prayed deeply and I said to him, I said, I'm the pastor at Nahui Baptist Church. Nice to meet you, but I tell you, there's more than this in the gospel. See, I want to go on mission because people are not worshiping the true God. And you see, Piper also writes, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When his age is over and countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. In other words, we get the chance to do mission now and witness for Christ and evangelize, because in the end, when we're in heaven with Jesus, all his people are together. There's no role for evangelism. We're already there, and we're all worshiping the true God, and some are suffering eternity away from God. And true worship, I think, is both, in Piper's words, the fuel and the goal of missions. I love this. He said, worship is the goal of missions. We witness so that people of all nations will come to worship God. Romans 15 says, Christ has become a servant of the Jews so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. That's why I witness. So more people say, God is merciful. God is gracious. And there's a lady I spoke to yesterday. It was a Greek-Australian lady, probably about the age of 40. And she knew I was the pastor. And she said, oh, so you were Greek Orthodox and now you're Baptist. How does that work? And I explained to her the cross. I said, you have to understand, it's not about religion, it's not about rules, it's about believing that Jesus, God's own Son, died on a cross in my place and for my sins, that everything we deserve was placed upon him, that I could be forgiven, have a relationship with God. And she said, that's amazing. It is amazing. As I put on Facebook, it's amazing grace. Now, I don't think she understood all of it, but it was like, wow, is that what God did? Now, she doesn't yet glorify God for his mercy, but that's the hope, that one day her eyes would be opened, she would see and understand. But worship is also the fuel of missions. What sends you out in Jesus' name, John Piper writes. He says, you can't commend what you don't cherish. Missionaries never call out, let the nations be glad, who cannot say from the heart, I rejoice in the Lord. I will be glad and exult in you. I will bring praise to your name, O Most High. Friends, we can almost stop there this morning, but I'm not, because there's more to say. To say, do you love the lost? You won't go if you don't see with the eyes of Jesus and feel with the heart of Jesus. Secondly, you won't go if you don't want to see more people worshiping the true God. And you get broken when they're worshiping false gods. You get broken when they're worshiping money. You get broken when they're worshiping even family. You get broken when they just worship something else rather than the one true God. And it moves your heart, and you can't go to sleep properly, and you can't eat properly because, God, this isn't right. Must keep going to the lost in our community. But if this is true, we must keep going to the lost in our community. Jesus said, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We pray for God-given opportunities to share Christ wherever we are. I was at Roselands Pool the other day, a couple of guys talking about life and illness and God. And one guy said to me, oh, I just thought, oh, you're religious, he said. And I said, I don't use that term, but let's keep talking. And he said, well, I've been reading, I think I've read enough about Jesus, so I got this book on Mary, Holy Mary, the Mother of God, Mary. So I thought I'd read this. It's a really big one. My aim this year is to read this book and understand Mary. I said, that might be helpful for you, but you may want to keep reading about Jesus. Because he is the Son of God, he is the Saviour. And Mary is the human mother that God chose through whom Jesus would be born into this world. Blessed of God. But you probably need to talk about Mary. See, what I'm saying to you is it doesn't matter where you are. Maybe at a party or between drinks and dances, or maybe a children's birthday party or a dinner or a barbecue. Maybe a craft on Thursday or at a playtime group Monday and Wednesday. Maybe you're playing golf with someone. And you just talk about life as you go, maybe with your doctor, maybe at the hairdresser's or the coffee shop, at the gym, in the office, in the factory. I used to love the workplace when I was a teacher in a high school. You know why? Every day I went to school, 800 students, 70 teachers, my mission field. Two Christian teachers in the maths department. We'd pray every day. And I tell you, every second or third day, there was a Christian debate in our staff room. Someone was having a go at me about something. The head teacher would come in and say, hey, you Christians, another Christian just sinned. I saw him in the newspaper. Another televangelist failed. You know, you guys are into making money and sleeping around. Oh, you guys are terrible. I said, shut up, Ross, sit down. You know the truth. You know, I don't like that. But you know, Jesus, when you really know Jesus, he makes a difference. But when you're in the place, when you are filled with the Spirit of God and you're open to opportunities, I mean, you've probably had opportunities this week. Have you? You've got to think and remember when they come sometimes, where you've talked about Jesus in your workplace, in the office, with your family. But you need close proximity to unbelievers. You need to be where people are. We need to be not simply a gathering here, but a scattering of God's people to all parts of society to bring the good news of Jesus. And friends, we will run special events this year. That men's breakfast is targeted at your friends who don't yet know Jesus. On May the 1st, Flourish Women. We've got a great speaker coming, Colleen Hurst, who runs the Maryland's Counseling. She's been speaking at Men's Katoomba Convention a number of times, interviewed. She's an expert. She's a compelling speaker, an interesting speaker. Going to speak on how Jesus brings specific things for women. We're still going to finalise that topic with her. And then in June for Flourish Women, we've got a singer, a performer, Belle Thompson, coming to perform on a Thursday night concert in June. Then in August, I've just booked up, just last night via Facebook. Facebook's good for some things. I found a friend, Gillian Davis, who's spoken before, preaching the gospel all over the place. She's going to speak at our Flourish event in August, middle of August. Three events, planned, booked. As well as going out and witnessing, there are some events that you could be praying for friends to bring them out of playtime, out of craft, out of your family members, to bring them to hear about Jesus. We'll try and put on some things like that. But you see, sometimes you need to live in such a way that you earn the right to be heard. Tony Campolo tells a story about a guy called Elias Santana. Campolo used to work in the Dominican Republic amongst a lot of poor people. And he said, I met a young Christian doctor who was ready to pay the price of building the kingdom of God. He had turned his back on what could have been a lucrative medical practice in Chicago and returned to his native Santo Domingo to work among the poor. Whatever money he made taking care of people who could afford to pay him was spent on pharmaceutical supplies to be given away to the impoverished people who lived in the slums of his city. So he worked, those who could afford to pay paid him, and then he bought pharmaceuticals, he bought medicine for those who couldn't afford any. Day in and day out, he works amongst the poor. So one day I was with Elias when he drove his truck into one of the worst slums of the city. For several hours, he diagnosed people, he prescribed cures, and he did the best he could to help those in desperate need. After hours of medical work, he honked the horn of the truck, climbed on its roof, and began to preach the gospel. Now, you probably couldn't do it in Sydney or Nauru. Someone might take you down. But I mean, but there they are, and he's been serving and loving. He said, hey guys, come on, it's time for the message. Climbs up on his truck and he preaches. And Campolo says, I noticed in that crowd, there was another young man I'd met at a state university, one of the prime movers of the Marxist student movement on campus. I went over, he says, and I chided him, saying, hey, Pedro, Elias has the ear of the people. You better watch out. He's going to win them all to Christ, and there'll be none of them left to follow you, he said to him. It's only Tony Campolo can say, short, round Italian boy, Italian American, just giving it to him to try and get a response. So the young man turned to me without a trace of a smile on his face. There's no smile at all. I was joking with him. The guy had no smile. And he said, what am I supposed to say? Elias Santana has earned the right to be heard. Has earned the right to be heard. Friends, how we live, how we speak, how we love will at times earn us the right to be heard. People will say, because I've seen you live, I've seen you love, why don't you tell me a little bit more about Jesus? My friends, we need to realize that people are lost, are in terrible trouble. I was in Thessalonica, northern Greece, in 1988, and I was crossing one of those roads. You know when you're in a different country and they drive on the wrong side of the road? It's dangerous. And I was, it's like six-lane highway in the middle of Thessalonica, and I went with this Greek mate, and we're in the middle of the road, and then I just looked in the wrong direction, and I thought, there are no cars here. And I went to take off, and just as I took my step forward, he grabbed my leather coat and pulled me back as I watched three lanes of traffic go past. I thought I was safe, secure, and in no danger. Most Australians think you just do what you like, eat, drink, and be merry, and you live forever. They didn't see the traffic coming in the other direction. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. Lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. But friends, the good news is that Jesus is the only hope of the world. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That last one I quoted to that Christadelphian fellow yesterday. So what do you mean he didn't die for our sins? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He didn't just die as an example, he did as an example, but he died for us. And at Shirley Date's funeral, we'll preach that gospel, the message of hope. Jesus is the only hope. You know, there's a large Presbyterian church. It was all in some of the Christian web pages this week, headed up by John Ortberg, I think in California, just about to break away from the Presbyterian Church of America, or whatever it's called. Do you know why? He said they don't believe the gospel, John says. They reject, many of the ministers reject the divinity of Jesus, and many reject that Jesus is the one way to God. It's going to cost them $9 million to break away, because of all the laws about who the buildings belong to. And the church at 92% said, we will stand alone for Jesus' name. When I play games with people who don't believe the true gospel. Costly, but faithful to God. But friends, we need to also be smart in our focus in mission and evangelism. Research by California-based Barna Group has shown that 43% of born-again Christians were converted before the age of 13. 64% before the age of 18, 77% before the age of 21. Reality is something, I don't know if it's similar in Australia, that's American research. It rings pretty true to me from what I know of the Australian church. A small percentage, less than a quarter, come to faith in adulthood. Barnett puts it this way. It is during those years under 21 that people develop their frames of reference for the remainder of their life, especially theologically and morally. Consistently explaining and modelling truth principles for young people is the most critical factor in their spiritual development. Greg Clark from the Australian Bible Society writes, in contrast with the often exuberant conversions of youth, adult conversions often seem more painful and drawn out, almost by compulsion. Perhaps this is inevitable when turning around a ship that has been travelling in one direction for a long time. There seems to be a good deal of groaning and stumbling and agonising involved in an adult conversion. That just describes it. That's why, as a church, we need to ensure that we are reaching our children and our youth and our young adults. Because most people are making decisions for eternity at this stage. Now, that does not mean we will not reach adults. We will run women's events, men's events. We're going to try and reach as many as we can. But we need to be smart and know that most people are making their decisions early on in life. We need to have great ministry. I was reading of a story of a fellow who came to faith as an adult through cycling with his mate. Two guys, on Sunday morning or Saturday morning, whenever, they would get on their push bikes and they would cycle. And they were talking about, the non-Christian fellow was talking about some Christians that he knows. He said, oh, you know, those guys, they say they're Christians, they don't really live it, and they're a bit hypocritical. And his Christian mate didn't know what to say, but he said, mate, don't worry about them. God will deal with them. Worry about you and God. And then they kept cycling. Just worry about you and God. And non-Christian went, yeah, I am being a hypocrite, aren't I? I'm complaining about other people being hypocritical. I'm doing nothing with God. And as they cycled, he said, the guy couldn't get it out of his head. He kept thinking, what about me and God? What about me and God? The next day, because it was cycling on Saturday, he picked himself up and went to church. God did not let him rest. Heard the gospel Sunday morning, gave his life to Christ on a Sunday morning. This is the day after the conversation. Then he went to tell his friend, his Christian friend. He said, you know, yesterday when you said, just worry about you and God. He said, did I say that? I don't remember any of that. Because it was just a natural replying conversation. And the reason I share it with you is, firstly, adults do come to faith as well as we pray for them, as we share Christ with them. But sometimes you don't know how the simple answer will lead someone to take the next step. Even if you simply say, you know, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. Come to him. Or I'll pray for you. Are you struggling in some area? Can I pray for you in that area? Or can I give you something to read about Jesus? God can work. Friends, in the foyer today, as part of the Jesus Brings campaign for this year, we have a couple of tools. This little book is called The Search. Now, it's really simply the Gospel of Luke from the Bible, right? Alongside it are some little highlighted areas. They highlight the most important passages. They give you some extra little notes. And if you have one of these phones like I do, I have a QR code. I worked it all out. You take a photograph of the code, it takes you to a video, and you can watch a video of some answers that he gives to tough questions. So you can say to your friend, why don't you read that and seek out Jesus? And by the way, get your phone out, go to some videos, and they'll give you some extra information. 1,200 of these we have. Not simply to put in letterboxes, get wasted that way. It's for us to put into the hands of people we have conversations with this year. It's for us to take to our playtime groups and say to women, hey, by the way, would you like to learn a little bit about Jesus? We're giving these little booklets out. It's a story of the life of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. And I would love for you to tell me what you think. Why don't you read a few chapters? I'm happy to discuss that with you. We'll go to work and say, hey, this a friend, well, listen, I just picked up this little Gospel of Luke. It tells the life of Jesus. Would you be interested in reading that? I'm interested to know what you think. I've got a whole bunch out there for you to take with you. Put them in your bag. Put them next to your Bible. Leave them at your office. Leave them around, scattered around, and start conversations. That's one of the tools we have this year, amongst other things. We have this larger one. This larger one is it's simply the straight Gospel of Luke in Chinese, Korean, and Arabic, and English. So we have 300 of these. So if you've got some friends who speak any of those languages, whose first language is not English, feel free to take some of those. These are tools that we have hundreds of. We'd like them all to go out into the hands of people this year, rather than sitting in my office, taking up space. And we gave out some of these yesterday, and we are praying that we'll continue to give those out to people. But finally, friends, we must keep going to the ends of the earth. Jesus said we are to make disciples of all nations. We are to go to the ends of the earth. And Jesus says in Matthew 9 to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So we're to be praying, even amongst ourselves, God, how do we go out into this community? But also, God, who are we going to raise from this church to go to the nations of the earth? Who will you raise up to go? One of our young women is in Burkina Faso at the moment, Emily Woods, 4-month trial. She's loving it so much, she's coming back to raise funds to go full-time. As a young woman in her late 20s to serve Christ in Burkina Faso. Who else is God going to raise? Let's pray that God will raise up the people into that harvest field. And the good news is this. This gospel of the kingdom, Jesus said, will be preached in the whole world as a testament to all the nations, and then the end will come. He says, when the gospel has gone to every ethnic subgroup, not just every geographical nation as we know it today, but every people group, then the end will come. This world will finish as we know it. Christ will return, judgment will take place, but it will not happen until the gospel has gone to every nation of the earth. And therefore, we need to pray for world missions, we need to give to support workers going overseas, we need to be in contact with and support the workers in the field. And the reason for me going to Lebanon, you might want to pray about that in June. The reason why I'll be going to Lebanon for 2 weeks is to work alongside Millard, to encourage him in that ministry and to preach multiple times as he provides opportunities for me to do that. And also we go ourselves, short term as 40 people did when they went to Bali. And some people have come back from that Bali trip, as someone said, transformed into spiritual lives, living for Jesus. So maybe for a year, 2 or 3 years. Friends, Jesus brings salvation to the nations. He does it through the prayers and faithfulness of his people. It's my prayer that we will do our part for God's glory. Let me pray. Lord God, it is a wonderful message, this message of salvation. And Lord, it is our desire that more and more people would know it and understand it and embrace it and worship you, God, for the true God that you are. Help us this year to be passionate witnesses for you, because we find our joy and satisfaction in you. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.